Good evening. Welcome to The Buck Stops Here. I'm Vishnu Shom. Our big focus, let's face it, look all around you and somewhere or the other, you will confront hate, anger, and so often the willingness of one human being to take the life of another. In India, it's truly shocking. They used to say life has no meaning in our country. Perhaps there is some truth to this saying. Tonight, in the wake of the Not My Name campaign, we debate Masuka, or the Manav Suraksha Kanun, which is now an online petition drafted by a handful of distinguished citizens. Our debate tonight, do campaigns like this essentially appeal to a small segment of highly educated city folk, or can these movements be truly national in character? Our second focus tonight, the biggest ever seizure of the narcotic drug LSD in Hyderabad, brings home some scary truths. Drug use in our cities is not restricted to street children. Schools and educated kids are some of the biggest victims. In fact, the numbers don't lie. One-third of substance-using juveniles live at homes and they attend schools. In fact, the number could be larger than that. Our second focus tonight, is the drug problem progressively getting out of control among school children in our big cities? But we're going to move on now to our first debate. The need, a lot of people say, to go beyond the Not In My Name campaign to something which turns out to be a law. Swara Bhaskar, the well-known actor, decided that she, along with a group of distinguished citizens, needed to come together, draft an online petition, and try and enact the Manav Suraksha Kanun. She joins us now. Thanks, Swara, very much for being with us. And Shubh Rashtra, the assistant editor of the India Foundation Journal, joins us as well in a few moments. Swara, a lot of people would say that the law already exists. You want lynching a non-bailable offence, but a lot of people say that obviously murder is the biggest offence. It's well classified in the law. Prescribe strict punishments. Punishments already exist for all of these things. Provide for relief and rehabilitation. Obviously, it's not done enough, but there, I'm sure, are laws which guarantee that as well. So why do we necessarily need a new law? Couldn't we do with what already exists?
So, Vishnu, you're right that there are laws in the Indian Penal Code that deal with murder, of course. There are laws that deal with assault, there are laws that deal with rioting, there are laws that deal with disturbing public peace, there are laws for rape and for molestation. But there is no mention of lynching in the Indian Penal Code. And I want to say, and this is a question that we have, the whole group that has worked towards the Manav Suraksha Kanun petition has been asked repeatedly, which is that, do we really need another law? But the fact is that a lynching is not merely murder or merely an assault. Anyone who has studied how lynching operate, what is the point of it, and who's looked at history also, will tell you that lynching is about a spectacle. It's about creating a spectacle. It's about creating a tamasha, which is why it's done. It's not like privately murdering someone in their bedroom. It's about creating an atmosphere where a crowd, a live crowd, comes and watches a victim being beaten up and then subsequently perhaps being killed, but sometimes not killed, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about sending a message to the victim that you are at our mercy, that the law will not protect you, the constitution of our country will not protect you, but right, you're at our mercy. It also sends a message to society at large saying that if you do not do what we say, then so this may happen to you. So lynching is really,
hang on a second,
and I'm sorry to you say it like this,
go ahead, make your point, sorry.
We don't have the existing laws that could, so it's not simply a murder, it's not simply assault. Secondly, lynching does something very, I mean, of course, it's inhuman. I don't even want to debate that. I think there should be a general consensus because we have brains and we are human beings. And
okay, hang on a second, Swara. I want to get a quick reaction from Shubh Rashtra as well at this stage.
Sorry, I just want to say something very quickly.
One sec. We have a bit of a time delay thing, so I need to be able to ask my questions as well. Shubh Rashtra, would you be willing, or have you already signed the online petition that Swara and a group of others want converted into a law? Are you in favor of the Manav Suraksha Kanun? You can call it anything else, but are you in favor of this?
I'm not in favor of any new law. I'm in favor of stricter implementation of the existing laws.
Why necessarily do you believe that there's anything wrong with making lynching a non-bailable offense? Because it's not a non-bailable offense presently.
It doesn't find mention
because
in
currently
the
implementation
presently.
Anybody who has a little bit of
Shubhrashtra, go ahead.
Anybody who has ears to the ground, anybody who has ears to the ground and has seen the kind of situation under which, say, for example, Bengal is flaring up today, would know that law and order has not been, the rules and regulations regarding law and order have not been implemented in the state. So in a country where democracy has been taken hostage by certain political parties to further their own interests, I don't think bringing up more laws in a behemoth of a system is going to help any which way.
But then political parties become accountable through new laws. I mean, that's the basic argument. Provide for speedy time-bound trials in lynching cases. Provide for an independent judicial inquiry. Prescribe a strict punishment. If we as a country finally acted after the Nirbhaya rapes and we came out with the most progressive set of laws perhaps in the world when it comes to dealing with violence against women in so many different forms, why can't we take action against murders through something new, something that galvanizes the law and order system, that gets citizens into thinking that if I participate in lynching people, I am getting into serious trouble?
I remember when the whole Haryana government, in Haryana, when the whole Junaid controversy, erupted in the media, immediately the state government sprung into action and took certain steps. And we have not been following the cases so closely, but in the same vein, it's not about whataboutery. I know what I'm getting into by, getting into this debate. But the problem is, Vishnu, that laws in our country are not implemented. The existing laws in the country are being arm-twisted by certain sections within the political parties to further their own agendas. So I completely agree that there has to be stricter implementation, but I am completely against the idea of getting newer laws into place without really taking into account the logical conclusion that existing laws should,
But Shubhrashtra, are you against the implementation of a new law because you believe in the existing laws? Or do you have a problem with the people who are trying to bring about a new law because they perhaps represent a set of values which aren't yours?
I wouldn't say they represent a set of values which aren't mine. Anybody sitting anywhere in this country would say that lynchings are an absolutely fine phenomenon and that shouldn't happen on an everyday basis. But as I keep saying, Vishnu, selective outrage is definitely a problem.
Selective outrage.
The way in which you portray
this is selective
in the
outrage.
Media is definitely a problem.
Shubhrashtra, there have been
selective
20
outrage,
attacks in 23
yes, in
months.
Fact,
I'm sorry, may I say something?
How is it selective, Vishnu? If there have been... Aswara, half a second. I'm so sorry, but I just need to ask one more question before I come back to you. And I promise I will. Okay. If there have been 20 attacks in 23 months, Shubhrashtra, how
because
is it selective outrage? I have a list of these 20 attacks. It's unbelievable.
Because
I'm not going to...
Because people like me... Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we totally differ on our political positions this way, Vishnu, in that case, because I don't even have a count of how many Hindus have been killed in Bengal.
So it ultimately boils down to Hindu versus Muslim.
Kind of
that's the first thing on your mind.
In the country.
When in fact, this is not about Hindus and Muslims. It's about all people of all faiths.
No.
And it's not only Hindus versus Muslims. It's about a whole set
for
of
me,
crimes. Hang on, Swara, go ahead.
For me, it is about a conspiracy which is going on.
It's a conspiracy
yeah,
that's
you know,
going
I just
on.
Want
Swara
to say
respond.
That, I'm
okay.
sorry,
I'm very clear on
I just
that.
Want to say that.
I'm very, very
first
clear
of all,
okay. that.
Please, you know, it's amazing how telling language is on this matter. The Junaid's lynching and subsequent death is not a controversy. It is a horrific brutal sort of example of the madness that is on the streets in our country. Secondly, anyone who's read our petition would can't possibly say that it's selective, because we have mentioned in our petition to the Prime Minister not just the case of Kashmir, which is of the police officer who was killed on suspicion of being a Hindu, but also the Bengal rampage that has been going on. The point is, please don't try to turn, it's a very convenient thing to delegitimize what we're trying to do by trying to turn this into a beef issue or a cow issue or a Hindu versus Muslim issue. The issue is of communities and individuals who are vulnerable to a majority, and the majority could be a Muslim majority in Kashmir, it could be a Hindu majority in Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh and Haryana, it could be a caste majority in Maharashtra. The point is that we are in a situation where certain majorities are feeling emboldened enough to commit acts of crime in mobs, record it on their phones and publicize it all over the television. You know, when we have no right as a society to feel horrified by ISIS decapitating heads and putting up videos on YouTube, when in our own country the same thing is happening, and then we are saying, but what about Hindus? It is not about Hindus or Muslims. It is about human beings dying. And we're very clear about that. The fact of the matter is that the state governments, the authorities, the state machinery has been hostile to the victims in all the cases, all right? That is why we need a law. We need a law because we have situations where chief ministers of states call lynching deaths unfortunate demises. And I'm talking about Vasundhara Raje ji. We have situations where sitting BJP ministers go and pay homage and wrap the accusers who have lynched people in tricolors. And I'm talking about Mr. Mahesh Sharma. We have situations where sitting MLAs refuse to condemn the lynching of a person like Pehlu Khan in Rajasthan. So we have either a complicit state machinery or an actively hostile state machinery. We have the police that has gone on record to say that we can't identify people who
killed
Junaid.
In so many states in the country, a lot of people would say that the violence that exists in Trinamool
and the government have
in West Bengal has two dimensions, two political sides. I think the danger, Swara, is that in as much as you speak about this
but
being
sir,
a broad-based problem,
it's all of India.
I think it ends up being seen, right, as a group of individuals who are targeting the government. That's how it is seen. Is that a problem? Is it a problem of perception, Swara?
No, it doesn't matter how it's seen by people. Vishnu, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter how it is seen. Of course, the RSS and the sympathizers of the RSS are going to see it as selective. I mean, I find it amazing that they are not horrified by murders, but they who, by the way, also profess to be vegetarian and have great sympathy for the, you know, mook, jantu and prani of the world, have no sense of outrage about people being killed in their own country. So this business of selective, I would turn it to them. How is human life so selective to them?
Okay, Shubhra. Last comment to you, because I want to move on over here. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter, Shubhrashtra. It doesn't matter, Shubhrashtra.
How are you telling us we are selective?
If it doesn't matter whether you're a Dalit, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, at the end of the day, we are all human beings. So even the phrase selective outrage is actually very selective. Ultimately, it's about protecting human lives. Why deny that? Why not endorse this cause without saying it's from people who have some political perspective or some spin or the other?
Because at the very outset I mentioned that nobody who is logical and humanitarian enough would on to say that lynchings are absolutely fine. Of course lynchings are aberrant. And that the whatever grandstanding one might want to take on it, however long a speech one might want to give on human rights, of course it's a crime and nobody is denying that fact. But the problem is, as I mentioned, the selective outrage. The problem is definitely the selective way in which the media plays on certain incidents.
Okay.
I mean, I'm being very categorical, Vishnu, in saying that I have.
Ma'am, there is no selective outrage. Please stop peddling inaccurate misinformation. Ma'am, there is no selective outrage. The selectiveness is in your brain. There is no selective outrage, ma'am. I'm sorry. This is absolutely ridiculous. The media has reported on the Kashmir killing of Mr. Pandit. The media has reported on the Bengal violence. The selectiveness is just in your mind, ma'am. You are selectively
Swara, Shubhrashtra, bring down both their audio speeds, bring down both their sounds. And the reason we are doing that is not because we want to deny them the opportunity to speak, but because I've got
Ma'am, Swara Bhaskar is incidental to this. I was free today evening, and I am one of the members of the drafting committee of Masuka.
I think we need to come back to this particular debate. It's obviously moved on to an altogether different level.